Christmas. I just think it's the best thing ever. Maybe spending the last 5 years of my life in college is part of it, because then you get a month off. Now I get like 5 days. It's kind of a bummer, but I still love Christmas. I just think it's great. You get to make cookies and decorate them and decorate your house and wrap presents and get presents and see your family. And I have a niece and a nephew who just get so outrageously excited about Christmas that it makes it that much more fun. Having little kids in the family seems to just really help that. But I know there are a lot of you who aren't huge fans of Christmas. My husband, for example, thinks I'm crazy. He says the Christmas season should be about 5 days, like long enough to be excited and have fun and listen to the music and eat the cookies and the fudge, and then that's it. So that you're not, he says, by the time Christmas actually gets here, you're just kind of over it. You're just like, there's been Christmas trees in Walmart since September. I'm done. I'm ready to be over it. So when we were talking about Christmas this year and what we want to talk about, and it kind of seemed like for the last 2 years, we've talked a lot about why people hate Christmas and, you know, how we can, some of those things that we hate Christmas because, you know, we've had really bad experiences or family tension, things get a little crazy, or some of you are going home for a whole month and that gets a little long. And so we've kind of talked about all of these things about why we hate Christmas. And some of those things are the things that Lauren and Adam were talking about today, like things we need to grow beyond. And some of them are just things in life that have happened, and it just has kind of always tainted Christmas for you. But as most of you guys know, I lived in Los Angeles for 2 years. And when I was there, my first year, I had two really great roommates. But one of them would get a little crazy sometimes. And one of the things she would get really crazy about was Christmas, but in the wrong way. She hated Christmas. And the reason for it is actually something I've learned since then that is a common hatred for Christmas, because of all of the things we love about Christmas have roots in other religions. So there are a lot of reasons to hate Christmas. And some of them, I want to start out with some of the like really extreme beliefs, okay, like, not even sure that some of these have, like, a real foundation, but I want to talk about these today because I think the journey that Christmas has made from all of these different religions coming together into one is really similar to our lives and the paths that we have taken, and that's going to sound really strange right now, but we'll get there in a minute, okay? So first, I want to start out with one, I kind of see the first one. Christmas is really a capitalist movement. It's all about money. Okay, capitalism, whatever you want to call it, it's all about money. It's marketing. It's stores trying to make more money. That's all it's about. It's just about money, just like Valentine's Day, right? No. It's just, right. So there's a lot of people who say it's just money. That's all that matters anymore. Nobody cares. All of these kinds of things. Another one. This one only works if you're in an English-speaking country, which I don't think the people who believe this have ever thought about. If you take the word Santa and rearrange the letters in his name, what other name do you get? Anybody? Satan. So you got to really... Yes, and I read somewhere that some people say his hat is because he's hiding his horns, not because it's December. But because he's hiding his horns, and he also travels through the chimney, which is fire. You guys, these are real things that people have told me. I'm going to move on because I don't like looking at that picture. There's always the family tension. There's all kinds of weird things. This is what I always think of. Family tension that goes on, whether it's just some family members can only handle each other in small doses, or you all moved across the country for good reason, or whatever it is. That's always part of holidays. There's also what my roommate in Los Angeles said, I only celebrate holidays directly mentioned in the Bible. So we've got a picture of Passover. I think there's maybe four holidays left if you only do the ones mentioned in the Bible. Then, this is a great one. You guys will love this. The conifer tree. Okay, I spelled this one up there just to make sure everyone can know how to spell it. This one, again, I don't think they thought through that this only works if you're an English-speaking country. Okay, so the Christmas tree comes from the family of trees called conifer, right? So this guy says, if you take the first half of this word con, you get the greatest con artist of all, who is Satan or Lucifer. Okay, then if you take the second half, you get ifer, which is also the second half of the word Lucifer. Therefore, the Christmas tree equals Lucifer. I'm glad you guys are laughing and not like, yeah, it does. Because when I read these, I'm bilingual, as you guys know, and so I always think, okay, that works in English. But in any other language, like, your universal truth is no longer universal. So I thought that was a great one. The same guy, this one isn't about Christmas, but this is a great one. He also says that we as a church are no longer Christian because we moved our church services to Sunday. Therefore, we're worshiping the God of the sun, which is the lake of fire that's in the sky, and sinners go there when they die. That was a big leap for me. I was like, okay. So some of these I just thought, okay. So there are some founded ones. Oh, there's one more. There's the debate over happy holidays that gets all kind of mixed up. I work at night in retail, and so when you work at a job like that, you don't necessarily know everyone you meet face to face. And so I can't look at you and know that you're a Christian necessarily. And so it kind of causes all this weird tension of saying, like, Merry Christmas. Oh, I'm Jewish. Oh, I'm sorry. So what ends up happening is people start saying Happy Holidays, but then by trying to not offend anybody, you're offending the Christians because now you're not saying Merry Christmas. So just everybody's offended. It's exhausting. Okay, so now I want to talk to you guys about some of the actual founded traditions of Christmas. These are great. You will be so surprised. The Tannenbaum, okay? This is so genius. This week, after this week, and I tell you where these came from, you will all want Christmas trees all over your house. Okay, so German pagans, oh, go back one. The German pagans, long time ago, like pre-Catholic pagans, they realized that these trees survive the winter. So they reasoned, okay, this tree can survive the winter. It must have magical powers to scare away evil spirits of winter. So I want one in my house to scare away the winter. So they brought them inside. And then they died. So that's why we've got pine and that type of thing all over the place this time of year. And after this week, I'm telling you, I want it everywhere. It probably doesn't work, but I just, anything to stay warm after this week, right? Okay, here's another one. St. Nicholas. You guys have all heard of St. Nicholas, right? Or at least the name. We've all heard of St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was an actual Greek bishop. He lived around like 270 to 343, so a long, long time ago. And he was known for secret gift giving and for punching a heretic. Okay, this I just learned the other day. I thought this was great. He was at a meeting where they were trying to decide if a guy was a heretic, and he decided he was. He walked over, pulled him down by the beard, and punched him in the face. And then the other bishops were like, you can't do that. They put him in jail. An angel released him from jail. And they're like, wait, maybe he was right. So don't punch heretics, okay? Just don't. But what we know him for, why he has to do with Christmas, is that he would bring gifts to children, especially to the poor. He would make like furniture and sneak it into their house, or he would bring them money. And at this time, a lot of people would like wash their stockings every day because they only had like one pair of socks and hang it up by the fire. And then Nicholas would sneak in and drop gifts into their stockings. So that's why we do that. And then how many of you get oranges for Christmas? And you're always like, Mom, why do you give me an orange? This is also from St. Nicholas. He would bring them oranges, which were like really rare and really expensive at this time. So imagine northern Germany, and then oranges are going to grow like southern Italy, which for us is like, I don't know, maybe day and a half car drive at the most. But back then, that was like, you're not going. You're just like never traveling that far in your entire life. So that's St. Nicholas. most of our traditions from Santa are based on him. We get the idea from him. The Dutch, because they speak Dutch, they call him Sinterklaas. That's also kind of their version of Santa. So we kind of get this mix. We, as Americans, eventually couldn't say Sinterklaas, and so we just started saying Santa Claus. So we get Saint Nick. And then we also have the name Kris Kringle. Have you guys heard this one? Yeah. Kris Kringle. Especially if you've seen Miracle on 34th Street, that part where he like rattles off all of the different names. That comes from southern Germany in Bavaria, where the tradition is that the Christ child brings the gifts in for the kids. And in German, you say Christkindle. And so eventually, as Americans again, we're like, we can't say that. So it's Kris Kringle. That's as close as we could get. Then, finally, today, we get our current picture of Santa from Coca-Cola. Believe it or not, in the early 20th century, they hired a guy. They said, we want Santa in all of our advertisements. And then, I think we have a picture of him. Then this is what they came up with. And that's how we view Santa. Oh, we skipped one. They might be out of order. We're not there yet either. Okay, well, you guys all know what I'm talking about. You guys know what he looks like. So that's how we decided that's what he looks like. Not Odin. This is Odin, by the way. That's our next one. How many of you guys leave cookies and milk out for Santa? Yeah. Okay, this started out in Scandinavia when children would leave carrots and hay out for Odin's horse when Odin would come. Okay, and you guys all know Odin because of Thor. Okay, a few years ago I could have said Odin and you would have all been like, who? But now, thanks to, I don't know which comic book, thanks to the comics, I leave that up to you guys. You guys tell me, I don't know. Okay, how many of you guys have ever heard Yuletide greetings? This is a great one. This is going to ruin Christmas for you. Yule. This is just hilarious. Yule is the Icelandic celebration of the god of sex and fertility. Okay, so it was a 12-day celebration. So that's part of where 12 days of Christmas come from. In which there was a Yule log that they kept burning for all 12 days. And then some people, there's sagas, so, you know, who knows, say that there were also human and animal sacrifices put onto the log. But that's kind of debatable. Okay. But so, remember, that's what it's really all about. It's also about the sun. Then there's caroling, which is really related to Yule. Caroling or wassailing, as our friends across the pond call it. Which we're going to do next Sunday, I'm really excited about. Caroling also was a pre-Christian fertility rite. So people would go through their fields in the middle of winter, through the orchards or whatever, singing songs to the god of fertility, hoping to make things grow. Then they would also take wine and dump it into the fields, like trying to... What a waste. Gotta get the stuff to grow. So have you ever heard the song, Here We Come A-Wassailing? You guys all know that song? If you think about it, it sounds like, it kind of doesn't really make sense as a Christmas carol, but if you think about, like, you're walking through the fields of green, you're trying to get stuff to grow. Okay, then, this is the best one. This one's Adam's favorite. You ready for this? In Europe, you still celebrate St. Nicholas Day on December 6th, and then you celebrate Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. Okay, you get so many more holidays. It's great. Let's go. Okay, so the night before St. Nicholas Day, so on December 5th, they believe that the Krampus comes to steal or kidnap naughty children. Okay, so it's no lump of coal in Austria. You're just gone. Okay, and I have a video to show you. What they do now is young men who have usually had a night out on the town will get their Krampus costume, and then they have a big parade through the city. So I have one. I think it's in Vienna, but I can't remember. This is a really short clip of what the Krampuslauf looks like. Okay, so there's probably a lot better behaved children in Austria. Okay, this is actually an 8-minute video for anyone who's curious. So they get these costumes and they go and they dress up, and some of them will even carry like whips and like crack them at people or like drag people down the street. Or okay, so they get a little excited about it. I think Adam's going to start the new tradition next year. He's like, we're going to do this in Laramie. Okay, so like many of you guys, I could tell by the way we're all kind of laughing and having fun with this. When I first learned this stuff, I was like, I don't know how to feel about Christmas right now. Everything I've ever learned is a lie. That's kind of how I felt about it. And then I just kind of started mulling it over in my mind and in my spirit. And just thinking about, you know, in a lot of ways, before Christ, I was pagan, if you don't take it in the literal term. I was away from Christ, and Christ redeemed me. So if he can redeem me, he can redeem a tree. He can redeem the lights and the cookies and the, maybe not the crumbles. But he can redeem all of these other traditions. And I think about, you know, my entire life, up until maybe 5 years ago or so, I learned Jesus was born in December and the wise men showed up immediately after he was born. Okay, now we know none of that's true. Okay, it wasn't December. He was like a toddler at least when the wise men came, all of these kinds of things. But that doesn't mean I don't want a nativity scene someday when I actually have room for one. That doesn't mean I don't still like that picture of wise men coming to a baby and bringing him gifts because they understood the importance of his coming. That still speaks to me that these men understood that even this baby, I would have a hard time with a baby being like, you're the new ruler of the world. But they got it. They understood that. And that speaks to me, that they got it. You know, and even the Christmas tree, I still love to see it. I love having Christmas trees everywhere this time of year. And again, someday when we don't have a one-bedroom apartment, we'll have a big Christmas tree, and it will be decorated, and it'll be great. And if it's as cold as it was this week, we might have 4 Christmas trees. Probably not. But I like the idea of anything that scares away evil, I'm okay. Just keep it away from me, especially -20 evil. Here's a great one that I've heard a lot. I remember as a teenager in the church, we always heard Xmas. And Xmas meant Xmas, I'm saying like German. Xmas meant you're taking Jesus out. You don't want any part of Jesus in this holiday. You just want the presents and the fruitcake. Does anybody want fruitcake? We've got a couple. I've never had it because I've heard such bad rumors about it. It's a break. So, did you guys know that growing up, I always thought Xmas is a new thing. It's like our new modernity that's ruining the world. But actually, the term Xmas started in the 16th century. So we're talking like the time of Martin Luther. And it started because X is actually the Greek letter chi. And so it's a shortened form of saying Christus. So it's still actually technically saying Christmas. What really surprised me about that, again, is the fact that it's since the 16th century. So we're talking like 600 years, 500 years, I can't add, of time of this is just a way of writing it differently. We're saying the same thing, we're just writing it differently. So when I think about all of these things and my own life and my own path of coming from without Christ to with Christ, there's a couple verses that always come to my mind. They're always like kind of these are the verses I cling to because they remind me of what Jesus did. The first one is 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." And that's how I feel about me and about all of these traditions that we've been talking all year long about going from death to life and expanding the kingdom of God and taking back the earth to make it look like the kingdom of God. And this is a way that this looks like to me. Another one I always come down to is Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So last week, I'm meeting with the teaching team, and I'm saying, guys, I just feel like every time I've gotten on stage this year, I've said the exact same thing. Jesus overcomes everything. And then I said, maybe God's trying to tell me something. And maybe he's trying to tell all of us something, whether we're talking about our church finances or we're talking about the other 52 things that we've talked about all year long. Jesus overcomes everything. And this works for Christmas, too. It works for all of these traditions. So here's the pattern that I see. If I can believe that God can redeem you, I can believe he can redeem me. Which I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's the harder one to believe. It's a lot easier for me to say, oh, Erica, of course God can redeem you. You're so great. Everybody loves you. Of course God can redeem you. But then I look in the mirror, and I know what my thoughts are, and I know where my heart always is. And I'm like, maybe not you. In theory, I know that that's not true. But because I know myself better than I know anybody else, it's harder for me to see that. But if I then can start to believe that God can really redeem me, I believe he can redeem everything. That he can redeem a tree. He can say, you know what, this was once used for something pagan, and now it's used for me. Now when everyone sees a tree, they say, this is a reminder of Jesus being born in a manger, in a stable, in the dead of winter. Or however you want to think about it. So as we've been talking all year about moving on from death to life, I've been thinking about, okay, how does this go with Christmas? How does this go with, okay, we've seen this path that Christmas has taken and how we've kind of created this amalgam of traditions from all these other nations. To me, that looks like letting Christ write my Christmas traditions, letting him be the center of Christmas instead of me. So when I start thinking about Christmas, it's not whose house do we want to go to. We have 8 parents between the two of us. So it's like a big choice of like, okay, who have we seen? Where did we go last time? Where should we go? It's like a big choice. And, you know, you start thinking immediately about what do I want this year? Because everyone's going to be asking me, what do I want? And what do I want to buy other people? And for some reason, it hit me during the worship that I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet. And just all of these things that we think about, when instead we should be thinking about Jesus, thinking about his generosity. You know, one of the things I love about generosity is that there's this huge focus nationwide on giving. Like, all of a sudden, it's Christmas time, and people are giving to everything. And we've talked about this, the giving tree and the snowflakes that are still over there and how great that is, that we are doing what we can to help our body move closer. But what if when I rewrite my Christmas tradition and make it about generosity, what if I then say, okay, now this is a part of my life for all 12 months of the year instead of just 1 or 2? What if I say instead of, you know, it's Christmas, I'm going to really try hard to make good connections with our family. What if I say, okay, I started that at Christmas, and now I do it all year long? And I take all of these things that we do at Christmas, and I just start realizing that if I'm really focusing on Jesus, then these things that we do at Christmas that make Christmas so great should be year-round things. It shouldn't just be, oh, we're giving to kids in Africa because it's Christmas, or we're giving to kids in Laramie because it's Christmas. It should be, there are hungry people in Laramie. Let's feed them. Let's help them get on their feet and independent so that they can then give and we can create a chain. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he told them something similar to all of this. He said, "Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. You have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So you can make your story about Christmas about paganism. It can be all about just gifts. It can be about overindulgence and debt and family tension and who can be the most mad at each other this year and all of these other kinds of things. Or you can choose to make it about love and forgiveness and grace and generosity and peace and all of those kinds of things. So just like we've been talking all year long, we can choose between life and death with Christmas. And I know not every single Christmas in my life has been great. And I know that's the same for you. And some of you have had more bad Christmases than good ones. But what can we do? All we can control is ourselves. What can I do with the power of Christ to say, starting this year, it's a good time. It's celebrating who Jesus is and why he came, and I'm going to make it about him and not about me. I want to leave you guys today with one last word from Paul's letter to the Ephesians that I think sums up our year and really just focuses how I feel about Christmas. It's chapter 5, verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and choose life." Okay. I know that was kind of short, but I knew we'd have kind of a too many sermons today. So I wanted to make sure you guys all have other pagan worship to do this afternoon, right? I'm just kidding. It's a good time of bonding for many of you. And many of you are going to be staying after church for free lunch and talking about giving, right? Right. So let's pray together, and then let's choose for these last few weeks of the Christmas season, let's choose to make it about Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are redeeming everything. We thank you that your power is so great that no matter what type of evil spirit was or is involved in any of this, you are greater. That when you rose from the dead, you defeated death. And you give us the power to overcome. Father, I pray that we would make Christmas about you, that we would be focused on you, we would be thinking about you, we would be acting like you. And that as we, for this month, focus on that it would become a habit, and it would become a life commitment. It wouldn't just be for these 2 to 6 weeks a year. Father, be with us throughout the day. May we grow closer to you, and may we grow in our finances. May we grow spiritually. May we grow in every way that you would have us to grow. In your name, Father, amen. Grace and peace.